So we're going to catch everyone up. And where we see, yes, something very interesting, and even a term that we're all familiar with, like Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and basically didn't know the midrashic skill of weaving in the crowns with the hair, right? We would still have an idea of, okay, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav is a beautiful expression of commitment, right? We're going to see this again in some of the Makorot today as well. And definitely, when you look at Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's poetry, where he also talks about, you know, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and if, again, I have to sing a song about Yerushalayim, then I'm going to be the kinor, right? And the idea of the, and, you know, Naomi Shemer's song, obviously, right, showing the beauty of Yerushalayim. But when you understand that Yerushalayim Shel Zahav was actually the name of the piece of jewelry, you can't help but connect it to the hair. So that's why it's so significant, though, to say, what is it doing in the Rabbi Akiva stories? But as soon as you see that Rabbi Akiva is engaged in the letters of the Torah and the crowns of the Torah, now you already see, wait, the letters are the curls of Hashem and the crowns are the crowns of Hashem. So this makes so much sense, right? All these ideas really fitting together. So now, just to give you another example, before Gila comes back, to give you another example of this, how Rabbi Akiva sees the world differently, right? When he sees, you know, Kodesh Kodeshim, he's thinking Shir HaShirim. When he sees straw, golden straw, he's thinking Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. When he sees foxes, as opposed to his peers, remember in Masechta Makot, and he thinks of, again, he sees, you have to remember, it's not just a fox. It's a fox running out of Kodesh Kodeshim. So what do you think comes to his mind? Foxes in Shir HaShirim. Are there foxes in Shir HaShirim? Of course. And remember the Ra'ayah says, the female persona, I can't come out right now to my beloved because shualim, shualim, bachut, mechablim, kramim, ukraminus madar, because there are foxes or jackals, really. Again, that's what a shual is in Tanakh, because there weren't really foxes in Eretz Yisrael. But there weren't, you know, there weren't jackals in, you know, the European countries where they were translating this. So, perfect, perfect. You're amazing, Gila. That was great. Super efficient. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. Because really, a teacher should take care of these things.
No, that's ridiculous.
Right. I'm just trying to think of like, all the
meetings. I know, all the things you have to do.
Thank you so much. So, I'm just saying that Rabbi Akiva, we already see this idea of, even though we would understand Yerushalayim Shel Zahav without this whole shir, we wouldn't appreciate how Rabbi Akiva looks at things differently. Right, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Akiva is one of four shenichnesu lepardes, right, that went to this mystical world. And do you remember one of his colleagues, Ben Zoma, again, they're warned beforehand that you're going to see things, you're going to see stones, and you're going to think that they're water, right? And sure enough, Ben Zoma, every time he sees a stone, like a turquoise stone, he thinks it's water, mayim, mayim. And what is that telling you? There is a world. One can even call it the world of mysticism, the world of, you know, I'm even going to say, you know, Platonic philosophy. But then there's the world of reality. And Ben Zoma, for example, goes crazy in the Tractato. Only Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom v'yared l'shalom. Only he was able to merge almost this, you know, I'm going to say, did you all see Inception?
A long time ago.
Right? Wasn't that great for Nevuah? Amazing. Okay. Yeah, like now you understand Nevuah a little. Okay, that's another shear. Exactly. Think about that. But think about this as well, right? Remember that last scene with the top, and you're not sure, is that real or is that not, right? You can go nuts, you know? And the producer did it on purpose. Like, I don't know what he thinks even. And you're supposed to think both. Rabbi Akiva is able to discern and at the same time appreciate both. So Rabbi Akiva can look at straw and see Yerushalayim Shel Zahav and understand the significance of each. And Rabbi Akiva can look at jackals running out of Kodesh Kodeshim, and he's thinking of jackals in Shir HaShirim, where the Raya says, I can't come out now because there are jackals, but Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. But again, or she actually says, Dodi Li V'Anilo, but I love you, and one day I am going to come out. And that's why Rabbi Akiva laughs, because they're all just looking at the picture in front of them. He's like, no, you don't understand what this represents. Hashem is giving me like such a clear sign that he's there in the Kodesh Kodeshim, but he can't come out now, but he's just waiting for the right time for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. Right? Do you see that? So you have to enter. What Chazal are trying to do is help us see Rabbi Akiva's perspective. So if yesterday we focused much more on the perspective of the letters and the kutzel shel yud, that Rabbi Akiva sees the letters, basically the curls, and he already sees the halachot, right? Even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appreciate that. Then he also understands the crowns of Hashem, the crowns of the letters, also teach something. But we already corroborated last night, those don't teach new halachos. Those are there to adorn. Those are the commitments of Torah. So with that in mind, we're ready, really, for the second half now, and which continues with a source number. Let's even take a look at source number 12, right, where Rabbi Akiva is already incarcerated. Right, this is after he's killed. Rabbi Akiva is incarcerated, and we find a very interesting story, wherein Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi, who is his attendant, brings him water every day. And the officer one day spills out half the water. He brings it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "How am I supposed to live?" And he ends up using the water for Nitzilat Yadayim. Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi asks him how, and he says, "Gan mutav amut mitat atzmi v'lo avor al dat chaverai." It's preferable that I die and not override even a gezeirah drabanan like Nitzilat Yadayim. And what this obviously already shows us is Rabbi Akiva and his commitment to Torah also. So we already saw his wives, right? That was displayed through the straw, and Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Let's continue then in the Medrash of Eila Eskara. Again, Rabbi Akiva is known as the Doresh Kitriotiot. That now we see doesn't just mean Doresh crowns, right? You're not Doresh the crowns, you're Doresh the letters. Doresh Kitriotiot means what does he do? He demands commitment. And it begins with his wife. But it actually manifests itself by his commitment as well. His commitment to Netzilat Yadayim, right? Commitment to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. So much so that they have to bring him to the Yeshiva Shamala Lidrosh Sham B'Kitrei Otiot. It doesn't say Lidrosh B'Otiot. That's what I'd expect. Or Lidrosh B'Tilin Tilin, right? Of the Otiot. Or of the Halachot. No. Other people can also, you know, see the Halachos through the Psukim. But Rabbi Akiva is really one who represents those kitarim, the commitment to those letters, the crown on the hair. Okay, just in case you're not convinced. Here we go, source number 14, which we already saw is Rabbi Akiva's way of saying Shir HaShirim in Kodesh Kodeshim. He goes up with his colleagues. They're all older than he is, by the way, and this is the second story. The first story, they hear the Romans laughing, and they're crying, and Rabbi Akiva laughs, and he says, if the Romans can laugh, and they're such Rishayim, I'm just thinking about the laughter of the tzaddikim, la'atid lavo, right, who are such righteous people. And then the next time they go up, that's when they see the jackals, which, by the way, jackals are also representative in Midrashic literature for the Roman officers, right, the snaring, sly Romans. And they start crying, and he starts laughing, and they say, how can you cry? These are the strangers, hazar hakareva yumat. How could God allow for them to walk into the Kodesh Kodeshim where no one other than Kohen Gadol can enter? And Rabbi Akiva says, how can you not laugh, right? Which means that Rabbi Akiva has literally a different picture in front of him. He doesn't see straw. He sees Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Now, what does this story tell us? Firstly, it tells us that Rabbi Akiva doesn't just look at the present, right? He says, oh my gosh, do you really understand what you're seeing now? You have to go back to the Nevuot of the past, right? What does he tell you? He says, now I see that the Nevuot of Uriah, of Bachor Bambayit Rishon, were then followed by the Nevuot of Nechama and rebuilding of Zechariah, and not even rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, but rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Keep that in mind. So now that I know that it's been destroyed again, what am I now confident in? It will be rebuilt. So what is he basically saying? You can never look at any event in a vacuum. You know, even over dinner, Wendy, the photographer, was talking about how there is now facial recognition on the Camp Meinzer. Right, so do you do this, right?
You get notifications. We found another picture of you.
Exactly, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So you get every day, they take up every single camper?
Most days, they don't tag remarkable. Your kids, they tag my kids most days.
Not on it.
See that? Because, like, Baruch Hashem, you get to see them
right.
in your life. And if 24 hours go by without you seeing them, are you okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. Hannah, so as she said, though, it's really chaval, because now you just see that picture of your child, right? So she said, for example, today there was Maccabiah, and there was one activity with, like, plungers, with toilet plungers. So can you imagine, you're getting a picture of your child with a toilet plunger, right? And you're wondering, like, what? You know, what it, whereas if you would have to search, you would see it's part of a whole activity with water.
Right, right.
And
see the whole picture.
Again, it has, no, we are not.
So I look through all the pictures.
Excellent, right? Otherwise, you're missing the context. And that's partially Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva sees such a broad context. That's what made me think of this. Again, the broad context of the past, he says, you can't take it out of context. Don't just see the child with the plunger, because then I would cry. I would. And rather, again, oh my, it's part of like, oh, it's a whole Maccabean. Oh,
well, now look how cute they use, like, plungers to do this.
And, meaning, look at the past, the present. Now I could also project to the future. And that's not only his optimism, that's the broad perspective. So he can look at Kodesh Kodeshim with jackals and remember the jackals of Shir HaShirim, because that really is part of his expression. Now notice the terminology even, just to show you, again, what else you see from this beautiful story, not just the optimism, not only the past, present, and future of Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at the bolded lines in the middle where it says, again, Ella Tala HaKatuv Nevoatol Shel Zachariah V'Nevoatol Shel. Or yeah, what does that mean? What does Tala HaKatuv mean? The psukim of Zachariah are literally hanging, right? Not just connected, they're hanging to the words of Uriah. Wait, Tala, that's a word of Tilin, Tilin, Shel Halachot, right? Everyone see? Meaning, if they're curls like, of the hair, then that's exactly each one. It's just like, pull it out a little more. You can't separate one of way. You can't separate the halacha from the text. You can't separate the present from the past, nor the present from the future. Right? Just a beautiful, beautiful perspective of Rabbi Akiva. What else do you see here, though, in Rabbi Akiva? Something that also connects to Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. So here, we get a sense of his perspective, and that's what Chazal are trying to tell you. Meaning they're weaving in not just, again, ideas, but they're using certain motifs, as we started pointing out last night, in order to teach you consistent messages, right? As we saw, I get each one is beautiful, like every volume of Harry Potter, but if you would read all of them, it gives you an additional picture. So we're trying to figure out what's that additional picture from all this interesting terminology that Chazal incorporate time and time again in the Rabbi Akiva stories. So keep in mind that this is Tala HaKatuv, okay, that's so Rabbi Akiva. He's also, when it comes to projecting the future, what does he talk about? He doesn't talk about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, right? He sees a destroyed Beis HaMikdash, and he talks about, Od Yeshvuz Kenimus Kenob Rechavot Yerushalayim, Be'ish Mishantol Bi'adom Yerob Yamim, Be'eladim Nisachakim Berechavotah. What is he talking about? Not the Beis HaMikdash, but
Yerushalayim.
What does that already tell you about Rabbi Akiva and Yerushalayim?
The whole city is important.
Exactly. The whole city is important. I mean, he's looking at the Kodesh Kodeshim and envisioning the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And the truth is that you already saw that. Meaning not only, what is the greatest expression or reward of commitment? Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Now I get it. Because for him, Torah and Yerushalayim, Kodesh Kodeshim and Yerushalayim, they're you know, part and parcel. Like for him, rebuilding, you know, I always picture, you know, the Nevuah Zachariah coming true when you walk down Rehob Ramban and you see, you know, all the parks full of children and all the older chavra from, you know, from Diskin, from the Wolfson building. Like, they're all there. It's so beautiful. And you're like, oh my gosh, wow, look at this. And I keep thinking, this is what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. But we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But that's okay. Meaning for Rabbi Akiva, that's Yerushalayim. Not just the Beis HaMikdash, but Yerushalayim. And therefore, he can see the golden straw and think about Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It's not, he doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash Shel Zahav. He means literally the city of Yerushalayim. So now I see that he feels a connection to Yerushalayim. We already saw that. He's, the crowns represent commitment. So what's a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? It's the crown of Torah, the commitment to Torah. What else is it, though? Commitment to Yerushalayim. Right? Everyone see that? So we're going to see this a little more. So let's continue now. Now this is really the second part of our shiur. So as source number 15, Rav Kook is the one to say this beautifully, that's Rabbi Akiva, who is not just committed, but how can he see things so differently than everyone else? Because he sees, even in the midst of darkness, right, he is the one that they come to and say, okay, Rabbi Akiva, we're spending Pesach and B'nai Brak with you, right? Because he gives my Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit. Even during Hadrianic persecutions, you always see the positive. Because he sees that even the darkness is a cloud over the sun. And again, his neshama can see way beyond that. That's a neshama that can see Shir HaShirim and Kodesh Kodashim. Right? And basically, it's saying Rabbi Akiva just has this huge picture that he sees, but it manifests itself in his commitment, which in Midrashic terminology will always be symbolized by a crown and a golden crown. So this is what we're going to see as we put ideas together right now. Again, one last idea before we go on is not only, I would say, his broad framework, not only the idea of a crown and commitment, right, to Yerushalayim. We see this in, again, his commitment every single day, right? Almost all the Rabbi Akiva stories are Zman Kriyat Shema, right? Because Rabbi Akiva was always Mekabel Ol Malchut Shamayim, right? The greatest expression of commitment. That Shema Yisrael HaShem Elokeinu HaShem Echad. And again, I would say another expression of his commitment, obviously, you know, his death. Another expression of his commitment, 40 years, you know, of not learning, followed by, you know, 80 years, according to Chazal, actually. He lived till 120 of teaching and serving on Yisrael. So basically, we see, you know, common threads throughout the Rabbi Akiva stories. And definitely, now, as we're going to see throughout his halachic expressions as well. So you'll see what I mean right now as we take a look at Masechet Shabbat. Right, I'm waiting for, see one more, right, one source that we didn't see is Ramban Gamliel. Right, Ramban Gamliel's wife saw, I think I didn't put this down, must be here somewhere. Ramban Gamliel's wife saw Rachel, Eshet Rabbi Akiva, walking around with the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Remember, once he was wealthy enough to afford it, and she's very upset because who is Ramban Gamliel? He's the Nasi, right? He is, you know, the wealthiest man. And she's like, why does Rachel, you know, why does Rabbi Akiva buy his wife a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav and you didn't buy me a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? And Ramban Gamliel says, well, she cut off her locks of hair. In order, back to the Henry story, right? She cut off her locks of hair in order to provide for Rabbi Akiva to learn Torah. And again, what then? Ramban Gamliel is also corroborating, what does the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav represent? It doesn't represent the honor of Torah. Ramban Gamliel's life should also get it. It's the sacrifices for Torah. Let's see that now. Okay, everyone ready to like hold on? This is so cool. Okay, source number 16, Masechet Shabbat. Right, this is the Perek Vav that talks about what different people are allowed to walk out on in Shabbat, you know, from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, the laws of Erevin. Bama Isha Yotza. Sorry, do you remember this? Again, Ubama and Na Yotza. What is she allowed to walk out with and what is she not allowed to walk out with on Shabbat? Lo Tete Isha. Lo Bakute Temra, Lo Bakute Pishtan, Velo Ritzuot Shivarosha. What do all these different objects or ornaments have in common? They're all things that she can pull out of her hair and then she'll be carrying them. Which is also why they're considered a chatzitza for tefillah. Anything that you could easily remove, that people would remove, you shouldn't walk out with on Shabbat. What else should she not walk out with? This piece of jewelry, right? Which is, what's the ir shel zahav? So what we're going to see, take a look at source number 18. The Gemara says, my be'er shel zahav, what does it mean, walk out with the city of gold? Oh, Rabbi Bar Chana says, you know, that's a Yerushalayim didahava. It's not any city, you know, it's not like Paris of gold. It's Yerushalayim shel zahav, kidza avid le Rabbi Akiva leveto, that Rabbi Akiva had made for his wife. So let's continue. And we're going to see the Gemara in just a minute. But first, the Mishnah in Ediot tells us something. So according to the Mishnah, let's call it the Tanakama, according to Tanakama, a woman is not allowed to walk out with this piece of jewelry. The very few women who have this ir shel zahav, they can't walk out with it on Shabbat. The Mishnah says, take a look at the Mishnah in Ediot, Shlosha Dvarim Amru Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Again, you guys should know this in general Mishnah, when it means that three things were said before Rabbi Akiva, basically is silence is acquiescence. That means that Rabbi Akiva agreed to these teachings. Shnayim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, two of them were said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Akiva acquiesced to. Vecha Mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Shnayim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, what were the two that Rabbi Akiva acquiesced to in the name of Rabbi Eliezer? Yotzei Tisha Be'ir Shel Zahav. That what is a woman allowed to do? He disagreed with Tanakama. A woman is allowed to walk out with this piece of jewelry on Shabbat. Now, based on what you know about Rabbi Akiva and this Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, why does it make sense that Rabbi Akiva would say, no, walk out with it on Shabbat? Why?
Because his wife has it.
His wife has it, okay.
Is it what it represents?
It represents. What does it represent? Commitment, right? Sacrifice of Torah. Like, walk out with it on Shabbos, meaning don't ever take it off. So keep that in mind. Right? Pierre Shalzad, Mafricha Yonim, Sulo, Tleidzot, and what he acquiesced to with regard to Rabbi Yeshua was Hashurit, Bethichudom, Malachat al Gabi Kiparot, again, laws of Tumantara. Okay, let's take a look at the last lines on the bottom of page 4 in the left hand column. Tanur Banan. Again, we already saw that the Mishnah, Mesachat Shabbos, says, Lo Sitei Shabbi Urshel Zahav, and Rabbi Meir says, Ve'im Yatzacha Yevet Chatas, which means that it's really Asur Doraisa, right? Walk out. If you do, Ibn Shoge, you're Chayev Chatas. Wow, okay. Chachamim omrim lo teitze. You really shouldn't. Lachatzbila, a woman should not walk out with this on Shabbos. Ve'im yatzav tura. But if she did, then she's exempt. Right? She's exempt from punishment. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer, which you already know, that Rabbi Akiva acquiesces to this. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yotza isha bi'ir shel zahav lachatzbila. Right? This works well with, now I know that Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama. Which makes sense, because he generally is. Again, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Now I know Rabbi Eliezer, which is corroborated in Masechet Ediot, he believes that l'chatzchila, a woman can walk out with the Urshel Zahav on Shabbat, and who agrees with him? His student, Rabbi Akiva. But my kimiflege, so the Gemara asks, why is there a three-way machlokes? Why do some say you're chayv chatas, others say l'chatzchila, you shouldn't, but okay. Like the diavid, you won't be chayv anything. And like a patra of a lesser case. And Rabbi Eliezer, which we know is also Rabbi Akiva, say, oh, lechatchila, it's fine. What are they disagreeing? Rabbi Meir Savar, mashvehu, uverabanan sabre, tachshetu. Dilma shalfa umachavile, va'ati latie. So let's take a look. Rabbi Meir says that it's considered masoihu. What does that mean, masoi? Like a masa? That it's a burden. Right, so that's exactly it. So what's a woman going to do? She walks out on Shabbos. It's a heavy piece of jewelry, right? It's annoying. Right, first opportunity she has, she's going to take it off. And then what is she going to be over?
Carrying
on Shabbos, right? Hotzav Shabbat. Again, Isser Do Raisa. And therefore, don't even take that chance. Again, Yechayev Chatas, because chances are you're going to take it off. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. And then the Rabbanan say that it's a Tachshetu. Okay, it's an ornament. So we'll... Why do I have to take it? Why can I not go out lechatchila? They're afraid that what's going to happen. It may happen, it may not happen. But it happens, a woman's walking around with a new piece of jewelry in her hair, and then Gila's going to say, "Wow, Shani, that's so nice." And I'm going to say, "Yeah, do you want to look at it?" And uh-oh.
Okay.
Right? Meaning, I'm going to show it off to you. Right? And then in the end, I'm going to end up carrying it in a public domain. So it doesn't always happen, but it can happen. So lechatchila, don't walk out. How about Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer Sarvar, man darka, and lemeifik bi ir shel zahav. But wait a second, who goes out with an ir shel zahav? Only an isha chashuva. Isha chashuva lo mishalfei machavie. But an isha chashuva,
she's not going to remember. She's not going to do that.
Beautiful. Right? So if I'm learning this Mishnah, out of context, right, which most people are, what do I mean out of context? Out of the context of Divrei Rabbi Akiva, out of the context of what Yerushalayim Shel Zahav symbolizes in Midrashic literature, I'm thinking, okay, I get it. There's a piece of jewelry. It's a heavy piece of jewelry. And three different opinions. I'm going to take it off because it's a burden. I'm going to take it off to show it off to my friends. Or I'm not going to take it off because it's a sign of importance. Yefet. But you know the broader context.
It's not just a sign of explain. It's a sign of commitment.
Beautiful, beautiful. Basically, what this halacha is telling you is that there are three different perspectives when it comes to commitment to Torah, right? Or sacrifice to Torah, right? You already know what Yerushalayim Shel Zahav symbolizes. Some believe that what is commitment to Torah?
Burden.
It's a burden. It's a burden. Some believe that what's commitment to Torah? One could also argue Yerushalayim, right? Like, okay, commitment to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, it's a burden, right? I'll just give it, you know, give East Jerusalem away already, right? But think about commitment to Torah, it's a burden. If it's a burden, then you don't walk out with it on Shabbos. Some believe what's a commitment to Torah. The Chazal speak a lot about this.
Something to show off.
Something to show off. How many tafim did you learn this past month? Right? Meaning, lechatchila, don't do that, but again, better to have, right, that at least learning, and not everyone show up, but okay, we get it, you're going to show off, so you know what, better not to walk out that way. That's not the ideal commitment. But you know that commitment to Torah could also be like an Isha Chashuva, meaning only an Isha Chashuva. We know the background story. Who's the Isha Chashuva?
Rabbi Akiva's wife.
Meaning when he sees the straw, he sees what real commitment is. He's like, what do you mean? Lechatchila, an isha chashuva? And as never, you can't even imagine anyone taking off Yerusha Laim Shel Zahav. That's a true commitment that you never let go of. After 12 years of sacrificing, after another 12 years of sacrifice, no. And that's true commitment. True commitment is it's always on your head. It's always on your head and always seeps to your heart. And that type of person, we're not afraid, is ever going to take off Yerusha Laim Shel Zahav. And all of a sudden, right, we understand the halacha more, but we also understand how Chazal, if you want to appreciate this, they're teaching you a halacha that makes sense on its own. Right, the Gemara is saying, but don't you get it? Like, don't you get what this means in the literature of Rabbi Akiva? That only if you read volumes 1, 2, you know, whatever it is here, will you actually get it. Let's even prove it. Yeah, source number 19. The Puma Shel Titus. So here also we know Rabbi Akiva was super committed to Yerushalayim. He's the one. He's the only Rav who supports the Bar Kokhba revolt. Everyone else was very passive. Not that they supported or were against. They just didn't say anything because Rabbi Akiva couldn't tolerate Hadrian declaring Yerushalayim Ilia Capitolina, declaring it a pagan city. And he's the one who said, that's enough. Like, no, no, I can't go on. Like, we have to rebel. It's been almost 70 years since Korban by Yecheni. Again, I'm supporting this Bar Kokhba revolt. And unfortunately, after Yerushalayim was destroyed, Titus established, meaning the Pumashal Titus, Gazru, and that the Chachamim said, okay, now that, it's like, you know, the Kala Nafla, you know, the term that was used in 1948, right, when the Beis HaMikdash fell, they said, that's it. So Kalot can no longer walk around with their atarot. So, in fact, Rabbi Bar Bachana, the same one, says, what is this crown that brides would walk around with? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ir Shel Zahav. No more walking around. No more getting married, apparently. And this made a lot of sense. Who would wear the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? Only people like Ishad Rabbi Akiva, who are super, super committed. And Kalot wore it on the day of their wedding. Why would it make sense, by the way, that they would wear it on the day of their wedding? What does it express?
Commitment.
Making a commitment, right? That's so beautiful. No more. No more. Again, the Beis HaMikdash has fallen. No more Yerushal Zahav. Instead, what do people put on?
The rabbis said they couldn't wear it anymore.
Exactly. Which now makes sense. Why? Why? We're so committed to their spouse, but we don't have Yerushalayim, which tells us that the Yerushal Zahav represents a commitment to Torah, a commitment to my spouse, but also
Yerushalayim.
Commitment to Yerushalayim. And therefore, Gena, that's exactly it. Today, what do Kalot wear instead of Yerushal Zahav? I say, one day, like, I can't, I think people should be making this piece of jewelry again. And of course, it's going to be very, very expensive. But we should make it for Hodiah, right? No, that's why I said Hodiah. Like, I can picture her making it, but she's going to say, like, Shani, you know, just, you know, the seminary girls, they're buying, exactly, they're buying the silver. They're, again, the gold has it, but the truth is that I know people
who
are
like?
Making it.
How do you know what it looks like?
Oh, so it looks like a skyline of Yerushalayim, like as a crown. Imagine.
But what did the skyline look like?
Yeah.
But you're saying what
exactly.
Did the skyline look like?
It would have to
what
look
the
like
skyline
with
the
Beis HaMikdash, right? So that's our sense that it probably had. You know,
I mean,
yeah,
I assume people who are making the Kalim are making
exactly,
something like this.
Exactly. I've seen different designs. I have. I actually went to a wedding and a girl really had, like, I think it was gold-plated. I was like, I think it's still a little premature. I told her, I said, oh, what a beautiful Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. She said, yeah, because the wedding was in Yerushalayim. And she said, you know, now to go back to that Baruch Shel Zahav, okay, probably, you know, it's not the real thing yet, so it's okay. But, like, probably need some Hidrin to say, like, okay, we can start. But I agree, Machon HaMitzah should start making them.
Right.
Different designs, no question. So, well, we don't have that now. But just to show that it really is a sign of commitment to Yerushalayim, we have another story that tells us that, in fact, when the Beis HaMikdash, take a look at Bava Basra, Daftet Amud Bet, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so there were Prush and Shevi Yisrael, right? How did different people respond? They didn't want to eat meat because it reminded them of bringing carbonos, and they didn't want to drink wine because it reminded them of the Nisafim. And people saw, like, oh my gosh, you're becoming ascetics. Like, this isn't how to live life. So they went in front of, they brought him in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, right? The first generation in Yavne. And he said, he dealt with them beautifully. He said, why aren't you eating basar? And they said, how can we? We always think of the carbonos. He said, well, then maybe you shouldn't eat fruit. Why? What is it going to remind you of?
Cooling.
excellent.
Masculines.
Beautiful, right? Vegetables. Going to remind you of bringing truma and maser as well. Maybe you shouldn't eat any bread. Why? It's going to remind you of the lechem hapanim and the menachot. Maybe, he says, you shouldn't even drink water. Because what should water remind you of? Nisuch hamayim, the simchas pesach sheliva. Right? What... they realize, what is he basically saying?
Everything,
you're going to die, right? Right? Meaning everything should remind you, but you can't go on living. You can't go on living b'zechira, right? That's why when initially, what do we say? If you keep remembering Tzion, I guarantee what will happen? You won't be able to eat. You won't be able to drink anything, and you'll just keep on crying, crying, crying. Exactly. So that's what you do one day a year. Mitzuyam b'zechirenu etzion. In the end, what does the Mishorer say? What's the difference between remembering versus not forgetting? Remembering is like that Sesame Street, you know, okay, carton of milk, loaf of bread, stick of butter, carton of milk, loaf of bread, stick of butter, right? Where it's in my...
It also takes up all your brain space.
Exactly. Call it kavod, right? Psychologists are talking about this all the time, right? That it, really, there's such a thing as brain power and brain space, right? It's taking up basically my cerebral... Right, the cerebral part of my brain, which, and then it stops me from being able to function in so many other areas. Again, instead, I always tell people also, I said, okay, like why not? People say like, oh, Shani, can you like set me up for a shidduch? And like, yes, yes, yes. And then eventually what happens? Goes to my occipital nerve, you know, and then I say, guys, like you have to like call me every once in a while to remind me to like put you back in my cerebral space. Right, but that's what happens, obviously. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. He says, like the Mizmor Tehillim Emeshkachich. It's okay. It has to be here all the time. Except, what do we say? Tibak Lishoni Lechiki Emlo Ezkerechi Emlo Alet Yushalem Arus Simchati. When do you have to remember? When you're most prone to forgetting, which is the day for Simcha. So take a look. This
That's
is
funny.
Because so
I was going to ask you when we were talking about the crown and I'm not wearing the crown anymore, is that when they decided to say Emeshkachich at a wedding?
Kol HaKavod. That's exactly it. This is the sugya. Osei Isha, so he responds, and he says, okay, you can't wear the crown anymore, but Osei Isha, so he says, what do? When are you most happy? When you build a house, what do you have to do? Leave your Zecher LaMikdash, you know, your Zecher LaKorban, sorry, your Zecher LaKorban. When you're at a big simcha, and you have a full plate of food, what should you do? No one really knows this, I guess, but you should leave a little over. Like, I dafka, and I have, like, prime rib. I'm going to leave a little over to remember, like, Zecher LaMikdash. Sorry, I keep saying
More like a fancy really meal, like when you go out for, like, a nice dinner.
Exactly,
also?
Yes. And you really want that. No, I'm not going to forget the korbanos. You know, that's when you're most prone to forgetting, make sure you remember. When, at a wedding, aros simchati, what do? And you break the glass. Osei isha kol tachshiteha. A woman is putting on all her jewelry. Mishayeret davar mu'at. Make sure to leave something off. Why? Why the jewelry? I get, like, when I'm eating, I get when I'm building. But that's exactly it. Remember that what's missing? That's exactly it. And Zach, I would say, at a wedding, so not only should women today not be wearing the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav because she should remember that she's missing it. We put on the chassan's head, right? Efer tachat pe'er, right? The men also used to wear a crown. So they didn't institute for the brides that they have to put ashes on their heads. You know, okay, they should still look nice, but for the chatanim, right, to put ashes on the head. So from here we see, basically, that in the Rabbi Akiva, and especially the Rabbi Akiva Yerushalayim, wherever Yerushalayim comes up, and wherever Rabbi Akiva and his wife and commitment to Torah comes up, what are you always going to see? You're going to see crowns, and they're going to be crowns of gold, because they're really crowns of sacrifice and commitment. So on that note, I want to wish everyone a phenomenal summer, and I feel this is so strange, because it's really just the beginning of August. We can still say, you know, have a good summer, but all the more so. To wish you a chodesh tov, a chodesh av, ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I always think it's beautiful, this transition from Menachem Av, you know, to go from the parent-child relationship to the spousal love relationship. And again, one obviously built off of the other. So wishing everyone, I hope that this inspires us all to think and not in terms of our commitments, to put those crowns even figuratively on our heads, and to be able to link the past and the present and the future, and as a session, internalize whatever is on our heads to ensure that we never take them off.
Thank you so much.
I know people enjoyed a little bit of again, a more creative type of she or series.
Definitely enhanced the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. As I'm looking.